Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Group Chat.
Woo! Drizzy Drizzy.
Drizzy Drizzy, special Friday Drizzy Drizzy episode. As you guys know, we try to film Friday episodes, especially when there's big news, like new Kanye albums, new Drake albums, new albums of any kind. So this is exactly that. It's available exclusively on all of our podcast platforms. No YouTube for this one. Let's get into it, Deepak.
Yeah. Did you listen to it?
I listened to the entire thing, and I actually made sure that I listened to it more thoroughly this morning so that I was prepared to have an opinion.
So I was waiting. I had to, like, I was trying to go to sleep at 8 p.m.
And then finally at 8 p.m.
I was tired.
Why do you still have your agenda bracelet on?
Because I have to go back tomorrow, and I don't want to put on another one.
They have to have new bracelets.
I know, but I don't want to call the guy. I just want to go. Right.
Just saying, they probably changed out the bracelet.
I hope Coachella. Not. That better be the same color.
I don't think so. Anyway.
All right. So I was trying to go to sleep at 8. Then I ended up watching Queen of the South, which I'm a big fan of on USA.
Yeah. Great show.
Great show. And then finally at 8:50, the album came out. And then I realized it's 25 songs.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't be up for the next 2.5 hours listening to the Drake album. Mm-hmm. So I quickly listened to the intro. Hit next, hit a minute each song.
Yep.
And then I decide I'm going to wake up in the morning.
Yep.
And properly listen it when we're hanging out with Dom.
Yep.
We, but at night, the song that got me, like, I was like, wow, this is an incredible song, Sandra's Rose.
Yeah, big song.
Hot.
Hot song.
What's your first take on the album?
I got a full take.
Which, oh, you ready? Go ahead.
My take is this. Drake is great. And I really try. Like, I don't think there's anything in this life, and of course everyone probably thinks this, that I'm such a fan of that, like, I become irrational and become, like, the annoying fan. But he's just really fucking good.
Yeah.
And he's just so talented. And the records have the right... This is the one thing I love about him, too, is the records have the right amount of, like, it's a good song, it's fun to listen to, and he's actually saying something, right? So you can kind of analyze it. Like, I'll be listening to it all weekend, listening to what he's actually saying. So I try not to be that guy, but the part that I truly, at this point, with what I think is as close to an objective opinion as I can have, do not understand how anyone can hate on Drake. I really don't understand. I think
it was
truly
getting hated on last night.
Was it?
Yes.
Okay, so let me just finish. I think truly, like, he's not, there's nothing trend about it. There's nothing like, oh, it's a cool sound. Like, that Toronto sound is just blowing up. Like, he's truly a talented, well thought out, hit song making music genius, in my opinion. I don't understand how people can truly hate on him like that. I don't understand how there's really an argument for who's a better all-around artist. I think he's undeniably the best artist of our time. I think that he absolutely destroyed Jay-Z. I don't think Jay-Z's verse was good at all. I love the line.
Wow, everyone loves that verse.
They love it because he's Jay-Z, and here I am. Maybe they're going to say, you love me because he's Drake. I get it. Go ahead.
Yeah.
But I think the line about killed X and let Zimmerman live, great.
Okay.
Perfect. Nailed it. Both in Florida. You know, I get it.
Which ex are we talking about? Malcolm?
Tentacion.
Oh.
They're saying Florida, the Florida streets.
Killed
XXX, but let George Zimmerman live. The
streets
I done.
Miss, or I thought they were talking about Malcolm X.
Nope. And so what they're saying is,
I get it. The streets have streets no justice.
Done.
Yeah.
You're done. Yeah. Like, you guys are stupid, right?
Yeah.
So, loved it. It was great, obviously. Right on time. Perfect. Jay-Z, great. I thought the, in my, I don't know what I'm missing. I thought the verse was trash.
Wow.
I think that, I don't even really
You're just on some Jay-Z hate right now.
I'm not, though.
You liked 444.
I did.
Okay.
And I like Jay-Z, and I absolutely love everything that Jay-Z is as a human being. I think life's too good, and, like, you don't gotta be that. Like, you don't. You're Jay-Z. Life's incredible. He's partying. He's in France. Like, whatever. Yeah. I'll kick you a little verse. But I just think with the, I think him and Drake have a little bit of a thing, like a little bit of competition thing.
Yeah.
And so I think if you're going to do a verse on his album, which is great, you have to absolutely destroy him.
Yeah.
And then lastly, my last thing is this. I still wish selfishly that he would have went back at Pusha T. Still am sad about that. because I just would have liked for the sport of it to see that go down. I feel like he did a good job at kind of clearing up some things and addressing. He addressed everything super heavy. And the album feels like a guy who just got dissed. It doesn't feel like he's ignoring it.
Yeah.
But I do wish he wouldn't have avoided that.
So give me your favorite songs. I have my favorite songs now.
Sandra's Rose.
Okay.
Guaranteed. I think, to be honest, I got to let this sink in a little bit more. But I think the B-side, like emo side, it's emo as shit.
But it's good. Emo at all. I'm always like in a positive mind space. I was listening to it at the office this morning. I was like, damn, this is good.
It's just slow. Like when Peak comes on, which is number 13 or number one on B-side, you're like, whoa, like we are in La La Land.
Yeah.
And it's cool and he does it well, but like it did get me a little bit. I think Mob Ties is incredible.
Oh, yeah. I think the whole rap album is good.
I agree. And then when it comes to slow emo,
8
land,
out of 10 is also good. Is that
yep. Yep. And then when it comes to emo land, I think that Blue Tint, it was cool to have Future, little Future pop in.
Yeah.
I think, I'm guessing those are unreleased Michael Jackson vocals.
Yeah, must be. I didn't know. I've never heard of that song.
Pretty incredible.
I just like that he had Michael Jackson. The song's whatever.
Yeah.
It's Michael Jackson. So yeah. It's awesome. It's just like I got the pull to get a Michael Jackson record.
Yeah, he probably just paid, you know, here's some unreleased vocals that Quincy was sitting on.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought March 14th, not that it was such a great song, but man, he just like head on addressed the baby situation.
Yeah.
I think the other thing that he does really well that I, once again, I would argue is undeniable is you actually connect with him as a person.
Yeah.
Like it feels like what he's going through. It's not some make-believe shit.
Yeah. And that's why I think
look at my watch.
That's why I think Kanye and Drake are the two biggest artists.
Yeah.
Those are the two artists that they're obviously at very different stages of his life. But like since Kanye's married with kids,
yeah.
Like me being married with a kid, when he says some of the stuff, it yeah. relates to me. And I obviously love Drake, relate to him on
everything. But why don't you relate to Jay-Z, Beyonce? Because they're out in no man's land?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I really like Lemonade and I like 444, but even in Jay-Z's rap verse, he was still talking about like drug dealing and streets and like I just don't think that shit's cool anymore.
No, it's not. And like I'm saying, I still smell like a kilo. And like, I get it, bro.
Yeah. And I just don't. I get that there are rappers that talk about that stuff that just came out of it.
Yeah.
That's cool. You're living that life.
Yep.
You know, Nas has a line that I think we've talked about in the past. I've been rich longer in my life than I've been broke.
Yeah.
So it's hard. How can you even connect with the street talk?
Yeah.
When for the last 25 years, you've been filthy rich. So yeah. that's the thing that I love about Drake and I love about Kanye is that they're really focused on, you know, really being who they are at the moment.
Yep.
And that's why I mean, like when you listen to Drake's album, it's so relevant of at the moment, right? He's yep. talking about Instagram so much.
Yeah.
The whole thing is Instagram caption.
Yeah.
Like every song, I want someone to like, decode it from an Instagram caption standpoint.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like Genius will decode what everything means, but like I want like an Instagram, a girl on Instagram
yeah.
to decode these are all the captions and these are all the purposes that you should use them for.
Yeah.
Because they're so good. There's so many things I was listening to. I was like, oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I was like wanted to write them down for future captions.
That's what every, so did you see the meme? There's yeah. a meme like girls yeah. right now writing down future captions.
They're amazing. Yeah. And I agree. They're like incredible captions. What I really dislike Drake haters. It's the people that hate Drake also hate LeBron James. So I hate those people.
Yeah. I think LeBron James is more hateable.
Than Drake?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree.
Okay, good. You want to know what else he does really well is I believe this can't be on accident. Every album, every big song, every everything has a corresponding emoji.
Wow.
He always does that. If you look at the big, even Charged Up was the battery
yeah.
emoji. It always has an emoji oh, so that people can comment scorpions all over everything.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
The only thing I took away from the Drake album, and maybe because I haven't listened to it enough, that I felt because of God's Plan and Nice for What and kind of how Kanye's records and Nas's records were, I wanted a more focused purpose.
Like what? Like compared to any other Drake album?
Yeah, because like More Life for me, it was like a Caribbean party. Like I was on the beach with Rihanna dancing. Yeah. Like that's how I felt when I listened to that.
Yeah.
You know, Take Care had a certain mood.
Got it.
You know,
so like a more cohesive sound.
Like what is, why am I listening to this? What mood are you going through in your life? Because it feels like the music's great, but it's all over the place.
Yeah, lots of moods.
A lot of moods.
Yeah.
And that's why like Kanye went out of the way to tell you, I love being bipolar. It's awesome. Yeah. Right? So he's telling you, I'm all over the place. Yeah. I have no...
But it sounded cohesive.
Yeah, it sounded cohesive. Whereas like, you know, all the Kanye albums were very... Like, I get it. I get what you were trying to do here. Yeah.
But I wonder what happened internally where, like, I wonder what was finished.
Pre-beef?
Pre-beef. Because a lot of it was post-beef.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if it made him scattered. And it's like, well, I like these songs, but I have to address, but my energy changed.
I think for the business decision to release 25 songs was really smart. So now, we talked about this about, like, the Migos album. 25 songs guaranteeing you a billion streams this weekend.
Yeah.
Spotify just tweeted that said he's getting on Spotify 10 million streams an hour.
Yeah.
So
obviously all the top songs are 25 songs of Drake songs. I read a thing, I can't verify this. I read a thing that he's eligible for 2x platinum because it's 2 albums.
Yeah.
So that, I don't know if maybe that's some trickery that's going on.
I think he really also manipulated, just because he needs to, the way he can win the beef back, in my opinion, is just by 1 through 25,
just sheer power.
Just be like, flex my muscle, this is who I am, I'm gonna have all 25 songs on the Billboard charts, never been done before, and you guys are gonna listen to my album 6 billion times this weekend,
and that's happening right now.
And I think that's why it's 25 songs and it's a bit scattered.
Yeah.
It's because this is his way of getting back without saying directly to them.
Yep.
That's what I think. Because when I saw 25 songs, it's no joke.
It's no joke. Okay, so here's the obvious questions. Did it live up to what you hoped it was?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's great. Yeah. So Drake is great. I don't have another line.
Well, that's why you're not Drake. and then was there any disappointments other than not cohesive sound?
Yeah, I would say, given the climate of the world, I like when an album has like a purpose, or like that one's, maybe because God's Plan and Nice for What have been out for so long now.
Yep.
I don't even consider them part of the album.
Yep.
They're like washed away from my head.
Yep.
But like those songs for me and the videos were so powerful. Like, what are you? And I felt like that's what the album I was expecting. Every song, powerful message.
Yeah.
And now I just got a bunch of incredible songs, but I don't know why you did it.
Yeah. But think about this too. We also judge Drake by different standards.
Yeah.
Well, and think about the fact that those were the singles from this incredible album.
Yeah.
These huge songs with crazy videos.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
He's the best, so I want the best.
Yeah, I would argue that you're right. I would argue, though, that I hate saying shit like this. I think that if you're hating on Drake and the album, you're just shorting yourself from truly enjoying a good moment.
That's how I feel about LeBron James.
Let's talk about LeBron James.
Yeah.
He's officially just out here.
Did you see that cliff jump he was doing?
Yeah, but I'm going to be honest. It was fucking 15 feet.
Okay. I agree.
Did you agree? I expected when they pulled away for it to be like, you know, 10 more feet.
Okay, but
I was like, this motherfucker.
Here's the difference. Yep. If you did that and you're like, yeah, out here, young and reckless, living my life reckless, I'd be like, all right, this guy's a cornball. Like, he just jumped 15 feet.
Yeah.
This is a professional athlete, the greatest professional athlete ever. He can't do that. What if he slips?
Sure. I get that.
You're shifting.
Wrist, but you're a Spartan man. You're not even real. You could jump probably 300 feet and like your body would just part the seas.
The way he jumped is going to be a meme. It's going to be like that Jay-Z dive off of like his boat in the Mediterranean.
Yeah, I was bummed out. I liked the hype. I liked the everything. And I was like, man, Bron, get it.
What do you want him to do, a backflip?
No, I wanted 10 more feet. That was ridiculous.
I mean, this is why he can't win. The guy is jumping off cliffs as a professional athlete.
Listen, this is the difference. He has arguably one of the most fittest, strongest physiques of any man on this earth. Jump a little higher.
Fine.
Or don't give me so much lead up. I got so excited. Rah, greatness. Rah, I'm a free agent. 5 feet later. Nice little splash.
It was good, though.
But I like the lead up. So, I mean, obvious questions.
Yeah, he officially opted out and to become a free agent.
Where does he go?
He's coming to L.A.
How much would you, what percentage would you bet on that?
60%.
Pretty high. What are they going to do to stack around him? Kawhi?
Yeah, I mean, all the rumors are he wants to make sure that one other star at least is coming.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's
Paul either George?
Paul George or Kawhi are what everyone is suggesting.
Yeah.
But it's just so blockbuster having him in L.A.
It's huge. It's just, for the sake of his legacy, it's the question of going from one shit team to another and riding out no rings just so it's convenient for your kids to go to a nice school. Is that what's going to happen? It's great for us. I'm happy.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, where's the ring at?
Because it's not in Cleveland. For a ring.
It's not in Cleveland, but it's not in right now.
There was also rumors that Chris Paul could also come to the Lakers.
And would one of those guys do it? Would one of those guys be able to compete with LeBron against the Warriors?
I mean, think about it. The Rockets almost beat the Warriors. Chris Paul got injured game six. They would have won the game. They would have won it in six.
And I guess the Cavs made it. The entire rest of the team was absolute trash.
Trash.
Including people who were running away from the buzzer.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that far off anymore, you know? Yeah, they got swept, but like, you know, the Rockets pretty much had them beat, and they just got one guy got injured. So,
is anyone leaving the Warriors? Clay?
I think I don't think anyone's a free agent. Is Clay and Draymond a free agent?
They were talking about Kevin Durant, but that might be for next year. Kevin's not leaving. He's a
little bitch.
I'm just gonna hang out here and collect rings.
Yeah,
stupid. Where's your card at, Kevin?
We'll see. It'll be fun. I mean, it's gonna be a theatrics. This guy's jumping off cliffs. We're all wanting to come to LA.
Let's not call it a cliff anymore. He's jumping
a ledge
slightly higher than your average diving board.
I'm gonna look up to see if what's the height of that cliff.
Oh yeah, 12 feet.
No, it's more than that.
It's lower than the lowest high dive at one of those public pools.
No.
If he was on a boat, he could jump up onto the cliff. Yes, that's Danny's point. He could probably, arguably, just climb that cliff pretty quickly.
I'm trying to see if I can find it.
Height of LeBron cliff jump? You could probably type that in. 7 feet.
Everyone thinks it's 10 feet.
With low tide. Exactly.
10 feet is not good.
You would jump off of that so easily. This isn't about like being a daredevil. It's about...
Here, someone just wrote, LeBron is the GOAT of making a short jump into the water look like an action movie stunt.
Thank you. Thank you. That one's not a thing. I understand people are real hard on him and he complains a lot. I'm fine with all that.
But TMZ is such a like... They're unbelievable. This is their comment. LeBron James risks it all to jump off a cliff in Anguilla. Risk it all. They're just so exaggerating.
Just
like of everything.
He could literally have jumped. Worst case scenario is you jump straight onto your face, stomach. It would sting a little.
And you think that's a belly flop? LeBron can't do it on belly flop.
No, what I'm saying is there's no real risk. What's the risk? You're going to tweak an ankle jumping into a beautiful, beautiful ocean?
No, but you could still slip and fall.
No. He could slip and fall. So he's so brave for walking down the street.
He is.
If you were him, you'd just be like bubble wrapped at home. Like, unwrap me when the new season
starts.
I'm
always in a ice chamber.
Yeah. Damn it. What was the third thing that we were going to mention? Dida Samiro.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize like how soon. I'm really excited. I'm really, really excited about Dida Samiro going to Showtime and Charlamagne got a deal with HBO.
That's confirmed.
That's confirmed.
Wow.
So he explains it as like a, you know, I don't know, his Bill Maher for lack of a better explanation.
So it's a weekly show?
I think, the way I understood it was it's not. It's a little less frequent than
that. Which it's like whenever they get something done.
Yeah, or like three a quarter or something. But he said, like, I want to interview Cardi B in the strip club where she was stripping and then in her house with her and Offset. And I want to interview anyone that they'll let him interview. Like, he would interview George Bush if they let him interview. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He wants to really, like, anyone that piques his interest as someone that's influential. But I think he's great. I think he's a great interviewer or whatever. Really looking forward to that.
Yeah, I think Charlamagne is like, he's on the verge of breakout superstardom. Like, yes, he's still very, he's obviously still only popular amongst like the hip hop community. Yep. I mean, I love him. I listen to Breakfast Club. I watch it on YouTube when, you know, whenever it's available. And I really enjoy it. I think he's like, someone mentioned to me, like, he's like the hip hop Howard Stern.
Yep. He is Virgil, in my opinion.
In terms of what?
In terms of breaking ground.
Yeah.
For someone in urban culture going to becoming a new voice.
Yeah.
For mass. It's no longer urban and then regular.
Yeah, yeah.
It's,
this is a now true it. Voice of a yeah. mainstream.
And that Charlemagne the God can be right up against Bill Maher and all these guys yeah. for document. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what, and I think honestly the same, maybe a little bit less on the scale, we'll see, but with Jesus and Miro. Like, I think what's happening is those guys are really breaking through from like, man, you came up and you grinded it out
yeah.
In your way, the way that was offered to you, and you this officially made it
yeah.
to the real deal.
Do you think, so their show was nightly on Vice.
Yep.
Now it's weekly.
That's what I heard, on Showtime.
On Showtime, which I think, that kind of sucks, right?
Sucks, yeah.
Because you're not in front of the customer.
So can I give you one flaw? Like, I think that...
Why Showtime? I don't even get it. Just money?
Yeah, I think money. I think, you know, big opportunity and money. I think Showtime has never had a talk yeah. thing.
And they're just a bigger platform. Way yeah. bigger.
So I think it makes sense for Showtime because they get relevant talk. They've never done that. Makes sense for Jesus and Miro because they're in the big leagues and they're probably getting a huge payday. My only thing is this. I think that Vice comes from the culture of internet, and so they understand the need for something like a nightly show. I don't think Showtime understands that yet, and I think that is one flaw. I don't think it'll matter for anyone involved, really, but I think that if Showtime did a nightly Jesus and Miro show, that would be like perfect.
Yeah,
but those companies don't operate that way. HBO isn't creating content that way. They're yeah. still creating on an old schedule. They're just working with new people.
Yeah, I think it'd be interesting to see how they... I'm glad like a big network like Showtime is taking a risk on a talent like that.
Because yeah.
Jesus and Miro is essentially an
internet-based yep.
concept yep. that has now become this like phenomenon.
And edgy. I mean, their whole shit is
yeah.
not PC.
No, not at all.
You can't change... So they're not going to... I mean, I don't know. You can't change your whole brand.
Yeah, and that's what
Showtime.
Those are the two things that I get worried about with Charlamagne and them.
Yeah.
Is how much does the big... platform change.
Yep.
Luckily, they're going to HBO and Showtime, which, I mean, Bill Maher says the craziest shit.
Yep.
So I'm assuming they're not going to be censored in any way.
Yep.
But I think it's important that they stay completely real, or they also don't go too extreme and just to be extreme, because
yeah.
there's a lot of that going on as well.
Yeah, we'll see what they do. But it was cool to see. I didn't realize their last episode was so soon.
Yeah.
And just like the big, they did a proper send-off. Highlights,
cool.
best moments, you know, whatever. And so that's cool. That's just, to me, is a really inspiring two deals that went down.
I know. And so Vice now has a nightly show open. Should be... Call us! Say,
if anyone at Vice happens to be listening, or maybe you have
a friend
at
Vice. Do you want the white Indian version of Jesus and Miro?
You know what's the new hot combo? White and Indian.
Yeah.
Little did you know, now that urban's
yeah.
normal.
Yeah.
White and Indian.
It could be very edgy.
Yeah. So let's get back to edgy, guys.
Windians.
And then lastly, just to send off on a positive note.
Yeah.
Big, big, big win for the home team.
Yeah.
Queensbridge Venture Partners.
Yeah.
Had another
crazy.
Exit. So Ring was an exit, how long, a month ago?
Yeah, 2 months ago.
2 months ago to Amazon.
Yeah.
Another big win to good old Jeffy Bezos.
And then he went and bought PillPack. Amazon bought that,
yep.
which is insane. And then Lyft did this huge fundraise yesterday, which we were early investors in.
Yep.
It's great. It's crazy that like these investments worked out. Like,
yeah.
it's like yeah. you don't realize when you're in these early stages. So like, you know, I can't take credit. I mean, it was really my brother and Anthony that like identified these opportunities, and they've done an incredible job at that. Because
yep.
I mean, me being an entrepreneur, and I see another entrepreneur across the table telling me, oh, we're going to be a billion. I'm like, man, shut up.
Yeah.
Full of shit.
Yeah.
And there has been number of billion-dollar exits in our portfolio. So it's impressive to see that that's even doable
yep.
because, like, we're obviously entrepreneurs. We're building our businesses. And you don't think your business can be that big ever. Yeah. And that, or even a big titan like an Amazon would be paying attention.
Yeah.
But it's pretty exciting to see. And, you know, I was talking to someone the other day and they were like, man, you guys are so smart. You guys are getting all the best deals. And then I really realized everyone who's an investor in this world is smart.
Yeah.
There is endless amounts of money.
Yeah.
It comes down to access. Mm-hmm. And that's why I always preach, like, be a nice person. Mm-hmm. It's because if you're a piece of shit, you don't get into the hot deals.
Yeah.
It's just...
It's that easy.
It's that easy.
Yeah.
You, like, I'm friends with, like, this group of young dudes who 7-8 years ago all were seed investors in Uber. Mm-hmm. They became this like posse of kids, not kids, adults, that all invested together and they all let each other get into all each other's deals. Mm-hmm. And they've all become extremely wealthy. Mm-hmm. And they all were nice to each other. They all looked out for each other and their whole crew came up.
Yeah.
And I think that's, and people always wonder, like, are they smarter than anyone else? No, they're not. Yeah. They're probably not even the smartest guy in the room.
Yeah.
But they were all, you know, great with sharing information. They all helped each other out and they provided each other with access. And that's why people don't understand. Like, everyone wants to do venture investing,
yeah,
but you're competing with smart and tons of money. So what's your only competitive advantage, especially with a company like Queensbridge,
yep,
was just access. Yep. We got access that other people didn't because people liked us.
I like it. Good lesson. Work hard. Be nice to people, kids.
Yeah. And maybe people, you'll get a invest men. In a hot company.
Yeah. Sidebar, quick news.
Yeah.
Apparently Jay-Z is launching a venture fund.
And he's calling it
Marcy.
Marcy Venture Partners. Hmm. Where'd you get the name from?
I don't know.
Hove.
Huh? Jigga. Sean.
Yeah.
Maybe we should call you Sean now that you're investing.
Yeah. It's kind of annoying.
Hmm. Seems a little weird. Anyway, guys, thank you for listening. I hope that you got something out of this, you know. Yeah. If nothing else, go listen to that Drake album and hit us up on Instagram. D is at dmurthy. I'm at drama. Hit us up and let us know what you think. Let us know
favorite songs.
Favorite songs. You know what? Give us favorite songs and also give us your opinion on LeBron's cliff jump.
Yeah.
Risky or pansy. Thank you, guys. We'll be back on Monday.
Boom.